We have a message for this Nakba Day, for this 75 years of occupation. We want the world to know that what is being perpetrated against the Palestinian people, the oppression, the subjugation, the terrible cruelty, is not in the name of our religion.
You have to stop treating the Palestinians like they're animals. You say you're the children of God, but you treat the Palestinians like they're rats. Why aren't these Christian leaders telling the Jewish Zionists, this is ungodly? You say you're the chosen people of God. You can't behave like this.
This is the Deen Show.
Girl, love you very much. I love all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
Yes, I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. My next guest, Stanford Pass, comes from a Jewish background, was born into a Jewish family. He has a deep understanding in this area of the world where Jesus, peace be upon him, was born. And he's connected to the current events. He recently shared something by a very prominent, well-known Christian. We're going to go ahead and, this is a Christian news source, we're going to go ahead and play this video and then bring him out, have a discussion on the history, current events, and Jesus, and much, much more.
The Israelis are going to obliterate Gaza. And when they obliterate Gaza, they will wipe out 2 million Gazan Palestinians. And they don't care. I told you the feeling I had when I didn't meet him. He didn't shake my hand. I'm standing next to Netanyahu, but I got a good look at him. I saw a man that absolutely cold, lifeless eyes, soulless eyes. I saw a man who could kill 2 million people and then go to dinner. Wouldn't bother him at all. Because in his mind, they're not people.
That's right. They're,
you have to understand,
beasts, savages.
They're savages. They're beasts. In his mind, the Palestinians are not people. So he has no conscience that would bother him. And we are witnessing in real time mass genocide, and hardly anybody is saying anything about it. And if you do say something about it, you will be extremely criticized. You may be shut down. They'll have a ceasefire when there's nobody left in Gaza. They will stop shooting when everybody stops breathing. That is the intention, folks. Total elimination of the Palestinian people. This is genocide. I don't care what you think about the state of Israel. No sane human with a heart can justify genocide, a complete wipeout of a people.
Stanford Pass, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, brother.
How have you been?
Alhamdulillah. I'm getting older and feeling closer to Allah every day by the grace
of
Allah.
May Allah protect you, preserve you. You share this video clip here, and I've been thinking for a long time. I've been thinking, we often hear Jesus, who we love, is one of the mightiest messengers that God sent, just like Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. They came with the same message, worship the one creator alone, not his creation. And I've been thinking, where are the Christians, those who we have so much in common with, who flaunt Jesus? Anytime there's anything that goes violent, they're like, Jesus, turn the other cheek, Prince of Peace. And this seems to be one of the few here that we're seeing that is vocal about it. We need more Christians to step up. What inspired you to share this?
I did have that on my Facebook page. Yes. The reason I shared it was I wanted people to understand. I'm not looking to just throw dirt on people who deserve it, but I'm trying to enlighten people enough that they can make an informed choice about their spiritual path and their future. Because this isn't about politics and life and death. We're talking about souls, and we're talking about not just this life, but what comes next. So mm-hmm. I want people to understand what's happening here so they can differentiate truth from falsehood.
He made some very powerful statements. He said, no sane person with a heart. So if you're a Jesus-believing person, you believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus, you believe in the God of Jesus, the one who created Jesus, you believe in the life hereafter, you believe in compassion, love, mercy, turning the other cheek. I mean, because you see now it's because you have people out there who are supporting this. This is giving the green light to a person who, from True News, I mean, they hit it dead on. This is like someone who, when he saw in his eyes, soulless, coldless, lifeless person who can just do something to go ahead and want to exterminate a whole people like this. It's out of this world.
In this time, we know that all the three major Christianity, Judaism, and Islam are going to be splintered into many different sects and groups. And they're all, and many of, they're going to be following innovation and things that are not from God. And then there's this straight path. And the straight path is what we seek to follow as Muslims, which is, you know, forbidding evil and encouraging good and fixing things with our hands if we can. And if we can't, to talk about it. And if we can't do that, to hate it in our heart. And to be like, we learn in our fiqh of worship, in our understanding of worship, that thinking about it's not enough. You have to act. You have to do something to try to help in this society. We're commanded to help in this society if there's something wrong. Muslims are commanded to do this, to help fix society.
Now, you come from a background, as I open up, a Jewish background. You were born into a Jewish family. For our audience who hasn't watched, we've had your story here on the Dean Show. If you can just bring them up to speed. So you were born in a Jewish family. And how would you address this myth that people have that Muslims, I mean, obviously you wouldn't have accepted Islam if you thought Muslims hated you.
Well, I didn't even know any Muslims until I became one, almost. Yeah. I didn't really know any. My parents always taught me to take each person as an individual. And in my home, religion was all about building character. Be a mensch. Be a decent human being. And that's to them, to my parents. They didn't know what was going on with the hidden agenda of Zionism. They didn't know all the underside of this. They thought it was like a homeland for the Jews that were persecuted all over the world. That's all they knew. They didn't know. And I was raised believing that too. And then I got schooled by life.
Well, let's get into this next clip. This is actually a rabbi who's also saying not in Judaism.
We have a message for this Nakba Day, for this 75 years of occupation. We want the world to know that what is being perpetrated against the Palestinian people, the oppression, the subjugation, the terrible cruelty, is not in the name of our religion. It is not in the name of the Star of David, it is not in the name of the Jewish people around the world who are true to the Jewish religion. Because we are Jewish and because we are true to our religion, we are in total opposition to the existence of the Zionist state of Israel. I call it Zionist state of Israel because it is Zionist. It is not Jewish. We want the world to know that the Zionist movement is not a Jewish movement. It was a political material movement created by heretics, and they simply try to incorporate our religion in order to intimidate and silence people and call them anti-Semitic if they stand in opposition. But this is patently false. Anti-Semitic is supporting the state of Israel. It is a cause of exacerbating anti-Semitism by having this occupation. It is a cause of bloodshed of the Palestinians and Jews alike. It is the cause of the oppression of not only the Muslims and the Christians in Palestine, but of the Jews. Hundreds of thousands of Jews stand in Palestine, have lived there prior to the state. They have lived and they're continuing to live till today, and demonstrate daily and get brutally beaten and arrested. This is the sad story of this terrible Nakba. It is a tragedy, a calamity, and God, with his compassion, we hope, will see the suffering. And even today, the last few days, how you see daily the death and suffering of the Palestinians and the attacks. It's all Zionism, not Judaism. We can once again live together in harmony, Jews and Arabs, as we've had for all these hundreds and hundreds of years. And Jews could show their gratitude to the Arab and Muslim countries for their embracing Jews and giving them a home. Inshallah, soon in our days.
So this is a Jewish rabbi.
Yeah.
And we're hearing these terms. Some people hearing it for the first time. You mentioned the word Zionism. He's also saying that this is not the same thing, Judaism and Zionism. Can you, for the, since you come from a Jewish background, you lived this life there, not understanding, and now can you bring us up to speed? What does this mean, Zionism?
Well, Judaism is the religion of Moses, or that's what it was called. It was they called it the B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, practiced Judaism. Judaism was named after Judah, which is the grandson of Abraham. Zionism is a political agenda it's a domineering effort to take Palestine and own it. The Rothschild family, which owns all the central banks on earth and half the wealth on earth, and they're advisors to the queen and the king and the pope now, and they own about everything. They needed a place to shelter their... This is Rothschild's homeland. This is the country that Rothschild wanted. Theodore Herzl, who was the father of Zionism, wanted to go to Argentina. Rothschilds didn't want to go to Argentina. They wanted the Mediterranean beachfront. And it fit right in with the prophecies, you see. Had nothing to do with Hitler, World War II. They decided in 1897 at the Zionist Congress in Switzerland, we're taking Palestine. Then in 1917, World War One came along. Well, the Jews were having a hard time finding a home. They were getting thrown out of everywhere they were going because of this small nucleus of people within the group that just wanted to own and run everything. What happened, they made a deal with Britain to get the United States into World War One to help them beat Germany. And they, in return, they were granted Palestine. And that's how that happened. But it wasn't to own. It was, if you look at the Balfour Declaration, it's an agreement that the Jews were going to be able to move into Palestine as cohabitation and live in peace with the Zionists, with the Palestinians, to live in peace and harmony, and everybody would have religious rights and human rights and all kinds of rights, and everybody would get along. But this was never the agenda. Their agenda was, once their foot was in the door, to take the whole place. And that's what was happening steadily from the time they got in 1917 until now. And it's just been an ongoing effort to take the whole place and to not live in harmony and peace if the Jews that went to Israel, the Zionists, had kept the bargain of the Balfour Declaration, the Balfour Declaration had been kept, we probably wouldn't be in this situation right now. But the Balfour Declaration wasn't worth the paper it was written on because they never intended to keep the agreement. They only wanted to get in the door. That's all. And they got in the door. Can I say something real quick right here?
Yeah. So just one point. Oh, okay. So when you meant, don't lose your place. So when you mentioned Judaism, so this is what they coined as the religion of Moses. But we know as Muslims, ones who submit their will to God, that's what a Muslim is. And Islam is a way of life that since the beginning of time, since the first man, Adam, that concept of submission to the will of the creator of the heavens and earth has always been there. So those people who are at the time of Moses, we would say they were submitters to God. They were Muslim and they were doing Islam, submission to the will of God.
Islam is water and all these other religions are brands because it's all about submitting to God. It's all it's about. It's the essence of religion is to submit and obey God. And Judaism, God didn't ordain Judaism. God did not ordain Christianity. But we know as Muslims, Allah did ordain Islam and perfected it as the faith of the believers. And so we're on, it's the straight path. It's the water without the brand, without the flavors, without the ethnic associations. All the prophets and messengers came for a segment of humanity except the last one. Peace be upon them all. Muhammad was sent, and his duty, his mission was to bring the Quran, to bring to all humanity monotheism. not to worship idols, not to, you know, that's why I became Muslim, because I saw it clear as day. After living the life I lived, Allah took me around the block a few times, and I could see it clear as day that Islam was home for a believer. That's home. And it looks so strange to us because we've been in the West, it's been demonized and they've been hiding it, keeping it under the rug and turning it. And, you know, according to Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a national security advisor to presidents, he said that the Muslim terrorist apparatus was created by the U.S. intelligence as a geopolitical weapon. Okay?
Wow.
All right. I want to say also condolences, sincere condolences to the families of all the innocents on all the sides of who are injured or passed away, that my sincere condolences. Muhammad had rules of war, peace be upon him. Many of them were violated by both sides. And my condolences.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. Yeah, it's very straightforward in Islam that this is something, rules of engagement before the Geneva Convention. It's very straightforward and clear.
You don't kill an old person. You don't kill a woman. You don't kill a child. You don't hurt a clergy person. You don't destroy a house of worship. You don't cut a tree. You don't cut a tree. You know,
you don't do carpet bombing of a whole neighborhoods.
You know,
you don't do the mowing the lawn, as they call it.
Yeah. You know, this whole thing started. I mean, I lived through JFK's assassination and I lived through 9/11, and I'm beginning to pick up on things a little bit intuitively now.
Yeah.
And this whole thing started with a big lie. The big lie is that these 5,000 rockets was a surprise. Okay. I believe with everything in me, okay, based on my life experience and my intuition, that they knew this. Egypt told them it was coming. And Israel, it's way out of character for Israel to ignore a warning. Even if they're having political chaos over there, it's very, very hard for me to swallow that Israel ignored warnings from Egypt that something big was coming. Okay. Mm. So based on that big lie, and I don't believe, like that first tape showed, I don't think Netanyahu cared about sacrificing some of his own citizens to get his mission accomplished, which is to destroy the Palestinians. It was an excuse. Just like 9/11 was a false flag. Everybody knows it, except that it wasn't how they say it went down. But what it was designed to do was allow the West to go in and destroy a bunch of Muslim countries and murder millions and millions of people. Millions of people. And this is, they're doing that. They're following the same pattern. They're following the same example. It was a false flag event. They use real blood and real people. They use us. But it was a false flag event because it isn't what they said it was. It wasn't a surprise attack. I don't believe it. You can't convince me of that.
You think this is a pretext for we hear this term Nakba. Nakba. Can you define what is a Nakba?
The Nakba was the tragedy of when the Palestinians were slaughtered indiscriminately, and they were just flattened and wiped out and caused to move and destroyed, and it was just a massacre. It's like what they did to the Native Americans here in America. They just took their land, burnt their crops, made them get on the street and just start walking. Get out of here. Nakba. Yeah.
Some are saying here, we'll play this little clip here because we're hearing some of the politicians from this side who are mentioning this Nakba.
I'll wait till you're done. Please. I'll wait.
Okay, go ahead.
Right now, one goal, Nakba, a Nakba that will overshadow the Nakba of 48, Nakba in Gaza, and Nakba to anyone who dares to join.
So we see some of these people from the side there on the far right side, they keep mentioning, we see people from the area mentioning Nakba, Nakba, Nakba.
Oh, Nakba Tania! Machane Pliti Taku!
שוב ירביץ עם הדגל הלא דבר זה הגדה
Second Nakba, what is this kind of now a pretext for this extermination, this annihilation, this genocide?
I believe that they staged this for exactly that. And you know what? I just heard on the way home, Eddie, I drive to New York every day. I'm a courier. And I was coming home and I heard on the radio that Israel's planning to start their ground invasion, maybe even tonight on the Sabbath, which is, I don't know why they would do that, break their own Sabbath, but they don't follow the Jewish religion. The Zionists aren't, Zionism and Judaism are two different things. I don't care what anybody says. So one of the survivors of the kibbutz massacre, she's on Facebook. You can find her. Haggard, dark hair, very tired looking. I'll send you the link. She said the Arabs were nice to them. But when the Israeli soldiers, when the IDF showed up at the kibbutz, they shot everybody. They sprayed everybody. They killed the kibbutzniks, and they killed the Arabs, and they killed Hamas. They killed everybody. This is from a survivor.
Wow.
She said that. Okay, now I haven't vetted it, but she didn't look like she was like making it up. And another thing was a doctor. I saw this video and I'm going, this is reminding me of the Kennedy assassination and 9/11, is that facts that would refute the official story just kind of disappeared. They just kind of dissolved into the atmosphere. These doctors are in a press conference. It's on video, on Facebook and TikTok, YouTube, everywhere. The doctors at the hospital that was bombed said that the director of the hospital was in phone contact with a general of the Israeli Defense Forces on the phone with him and said, why didn't you answer the phone? He says, "What?" In other words, the Israeli Defense Forces said to the hospital people, allegedly, we sent two rocket shells over to you as a warning. Why didn't you answer your telephone? They said this to the doctors on this press conference. There's a simple way to check this if it's true. Look at the phone records. I mean, I'm looking at it like this isn't right. This is so common sense, down to earth. If they just check the phone records and they look to see if there was a conversation between this doctor and Israel's military, there's evidence, you know, but nobody's talking about this stuff. Just like when 9/11 happened, there were eyewitnesses, they died, they disappeared, they got sick, this happened, that happened. You know, I'm just saying, the big lie, you know, like, you want somebody to swallow a lie, you got to make it big, they said. This is going back to Nazi thinking. You got to make it a big lie, and then people will just automatically swallow it. So I think it all goes back to the fact that they allowed this to happen, because they knew, they wanted a, like you say, they wanted a justification to commit the Nakba again.
Okay, let me get into this next clip and I get your reaction to this.
Okay.
Here in the United States, the Christian Zionist movement, John Hagee, go down the list of them. Perry Stone, Lance Wallnau, Stephen Strang at Charisma. You go down the whole list of Zionist puppets are clapping and cheering for this atrocity. They're delighted.
I mean, this is just so incredibly disingenuous on their part.
Why aren't they crying for peace?
Peacemakers.
Why aren't they calling for peace? Why aren't they negotiating? Why aren't they putting pressure on Israel? You have to stop treating the Palestinians like they're animals. You say you're the children of God, but you treat the Palestinians like they're rats. Why aren't these Christian leaders telling the Jewish Zionists, this is ungodly. You say you're the chosen people of God. You can't behave like this.
Again, these are the Christians who are stepping up and they're calling out the Zionists. Do you know much about the Christians who are not even really following Christianity? They're also They call themselves Zionists.
There's a lot of there's a lot of innovation out there. There's, what do you say? There's going to be over 70 misguided sects of each religion: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. This is another misguided sect.
This is also a new movement, huh? This Christian Zionism.
I don't know exactly when it started, but it hasn't been that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
10, 20 years maybe? I don't know. Just maybe when I've been aware of it only that long.
But it's very nice to see that these Christians here, do you know the person's name, some of these Christians who are with True News?
I recognize some of those names, Haggy and those guys.
Haggy, okay. Oh, no, that's the ones with the Zionists. They're calling out. But these are some of the mainstream Christians. It's very sad to see many of these people are pushing this this war propaganda, and they're helping, they're complicit in what's happening, and they're totally off the way of who they're supposed to be following, the prince, as they claim, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Yeah, so that's very, very, very sad. Yeah.
I always thought it was kind of strange that they want to buddy up with the Jewish people who denied Jesus, but they hate us, and we believe he's coming back, and we love him. I never could figure that one out.
So your experience then, when you started to, as a young boy, you would hear a lot of this propaganda, you would hear a lot of this, and then what did it for you that you finally light bulb went on, and you started to, you started to do more research, you started to go deeper into this, that you started to see the difference between Judaism, Zionism, and to get a better understanding like you do now, that opened your mind?
Well,
your heart?
I started asking the rabbis questions that they got upset with me for asking, like things about references to Jesus in the Torah, and, you know, a virgin giving, a maiden giving birth, you know, a young girl giving birth to a savior, and all the things that were in there. And they didn't like my questions. And right around then, when I was 14, Kennedy got killed. And I, like I said, I started looking behind. It took a little longer then because we didn't have all this high tech stuff, but it still smelled weird because they were too quick with an answer, like, oh, he did it. Oh, look at that. The guy that shot him, he got killed. You know, everything was happening like it was clockwork, you know? And we started getting suspicious. Like, this isn't what, there was a conspiracy here, and we didn't need a cell phone to tell us. And my search started becoming not just on the physical plane, but I started questioning my religion. I started questioning it because it didn't seem like it was the whole story. I wasn't getting I was taught in Hebrew school, Abraham was the first Jew. Then I learned years later, there was no such thing as a Jew until his grandson. Nobody called anybody a Jew until his grandson came along. Abraham was a submitter. He says, so I'm a submitter. Submitter, we know what that means. It means I was a Muslim. I submitted my will to God's will. Same as Noah. We're taught in Hebrew school, Jews claim Noah and Abraham as theirs. Like they're Jews. They're not Jews. They're submitters. There was no Jews back then. But that's how it got. When I started realizing that, I started going, I got to get out more often. I got to look around.
Now, you've said that Jesus was Palestinian. And
he was, I don't know the geographics. He was from that general area, Bethlehem.
He was from Palestine.
That whole area, Galilee. I don't know if that's Judea or Palestine. I think it's all Palestine. It was all called Palestine, I think, but I'm not a geographical expert, forgive me, but he was definitely from that neighborhood of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He was from that place, that area.
Now, Jews, they don't accept Jesus, peace be upon him, as the Messiah, because they don't worship him as a God. And now Muslims, we actually don't believe that he is like 50%. There's a study that went out and they confirmed that almost 50% of Americans here don't believe Jesus was God. They believe, I mean, this is just going with their nature, obviously.
Well, that's good.
That's good. Yeah. And I think it was 35% evangelical Christian. So they're actually closer to Islam.
That's right.
Because they're calling him a righteous teacher. But now if even Jews, if they, because there's like you being from a Jewish background, grew up a Jewish family. Now this controversy, what is the belief in Judaism? What do people believe about Jesus?
Well, if you talk to a Zionist, you have to wash your ears out after they get done talking. If you talk to these Orthodox Jewish transplants that are coming from Brooklyn and other places to steal houses from the Palestinians, they say if he comes back again, we'll crucify him. We spit on him. It's a common thing in Israel that spit on Christians. And yeah. I think they're trying to stop that, but I heard that's a common occurrence. But there's a whole spectrum of how Jews look at Jesus, depending upon which Jews you're talking about. Some, as you say, look at him as a righteous teacher, a rabbi, not as a prophet, not as, you know, anything else. Others, I wouldn't even want to repeat it. Like from the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud writes things about him and his mother that I wouldn't even...
We don't have to repeat, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to repeat. So there's a whole spectrum of viewpoints about Jesus in the eyes of the Jews. They're from respect and, you know, reverence as a teacher and a wise, you know, rabbi to the other end of the stick, but nothing in the form of their leader. I think in part that was the fault of the Christians who changed the story and alienated the Jews when they said he's God. And the Jews said, no, there no man is God, you know. So the Jews reacted when the Christians started claiming Jesus is God or as due worship, that violates the first commandment of Moses. I am the one here, O Israel, the Lord God is one. You shall have no other gods before you. So I kind of have a vision. My lens is wide enough to see why a lot of Jews rejected Jesus. And I think they'll have a chance to get it straight because nobody ever gave it to them straight. Because the mm-hmm. Christians that came to them were trying to convince Jews that he's God or that he's the Son of God and that he's due worship as God would be. And this is definitely a big no-no in any monotheistic religion. So, yeah.
So you're saying that if the Jews of today, if they got if they're sincere like you, true seeker, if they really got to look at who Jesus was from an Islamic perspective, they would accept him as the Messiah, then that would bring them closer now even to accepting the last and final message of your Prophet Muhammad.
Well, that would depend upon the individual.
Individual,
I would
yeah.
have to say. That depends on the individual.
If they're sincere, if they really are
only
sincere.
Only Allah knows what's in a person's heart.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. What do you think is the reason now when we mention all these things, these really hurtful things and these blasphemous things that are said about Jesus, peace be upon him, we proudly say we love Jesus. But then you have, it's very sad, unlike these Christians who are speaking out, you have many Christians, Zionist Christians, who are going along with this and supporting this group of people who say the most horrendous things about Jesus. And it seems it's a really ironic, a strange relationship.
It sure is. It's schizophrenic. It is. It's crazy.
The police here, 99% conviction rate. Shut up.
We don't do anything illegal. You cannot take us to jail. If you are not involved, please go. Shalom, my friend. We bless you.
You're in my country.
My soupy.
You come to the United States, you can say whatever you want to say. That is the free world, yes?
You're not in the United States. You're in Israel.
I understand.
You cannot say whatever you want to say here.
Yes, you can. It's legal. It is legal to preach about Yeshua. We preach at Damascus Gate. The police said it's okay. We preach at Jaffa Gate. The police say it's okay. Please stop. I respect you. Respect me.
Doesn't have to respect you.
Huh?
Doesn't have to respect you.
That is the right thing. Are you Jewish? Do you want to honor God? That is the godly thing to do. We respect one another.
The godly thing to do is to kill you.
The godly thing is to kill me.
That's right. That's what the Torah says.
The Torah says to kill us.
The Torah says that people who worship idols such as yourself, when there is a Sanhedrin,
to kill us.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what the Torah
so
says.
So we know how the Jewish people feel about Christians, yes? That you Christians discriminate are, against Christians.
Christians are idol worshippers.
You discriminate
the
against
Torah
Christians.
The Torah says that Christianity is idol worship.
It's not, but I think they're doing that, I think, because they believe that there's some kind of a tie between, well, there is a tie between Jesus, peace be upon him, and the land, the place, because that's where he's going to go. You know, he's going to go to Jerusalem, and that he's going to confront the Antichrist, the Dajjal over there, and I don't think they reject. They're afraid. They're afraid. I don't think they never got the story straight. They never got the story told to them straight. All right. The Muslims have the story straight. They got a bunch of versions from the Christians because the Christians went astray. And they started telling their astray stories and their astray gospels, which weren't the actual gospels, which freaked out a lot of the Jews, I think. And I think a lot of Jews, God willing, will see it when they see it clearly, see it clearly, and a lot of the Christians will too. I hope it's not too late. That's for them.
Before we conclude, what other last closing comments with everything that's going on, connecting it to your story? We hear a lot of different things. You know, they make it seem like Muslims hate Jews, and this is a war between Muslims and Jews, and Muslims are savages, and you know, they're trying to lump everybody up with this, with certain groups and whatnot. What advice do you have for the people listening out there?
I read something recently. It said the purpose of propaganda is to make your opposition appear to be less than human. And that gives you the right to do anything you want to them, you see. And that's what the Zionists are doing to the Palestinians, okay? And that's what every group, every oppressor does that. Look at, you know, it's like these guys are, you know, he allowed this to happen so that he could say, look at this. And this woman at the kibbutz is going, it was the IDF that shot us up, not the Arabs, you know? But it's like, is that ever going to get to the headlines? I knew a lot of stuff about 9/11, but I never saw it get to the mainstream media where people, they believe it if it's on the mainstream media. It's like going to, oh, I only believe it. It's from a doctor. I only believe it if it's on the television. No. What I advise people to do is to pray sincerely and to use the brains God gave us and the intuition. Intuition is highly underrated. You know, the Christians come to me on Facebook sometime and they start throwing chapters and verses at me. And I go, you know something? The people who knew the book best when Jesus was here, peace be upon him, they missed him. And the ones on the street that probably couldn't read, they probably didn't even have a book in their house, they felt him. They knew who it was from the love, from the energy, from the frequency. And so what I ask everybody to do, because we're in these times where truth is covered over, it's a, you know, the truth is hard to find nowadays, and what I advise everybody to do is to ask Allah to show us the truth inside, show us what's going on, give us the eyes to see through the veils of propaganda and lies and darkness. And if the whole world is telling you a lie, that doesn't mean you have to believe it. You know, I've been living like this since I was 14. I'm 74 years old. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Thank you.
Because you know what? It's nice. It's nice to know the truth before you leave this world. And it, and I'm not saying I'm leaving. Nobody knows when we're leaving, but it's nice to know the truth. This is more incredible than any movie, any sci-fi, any action adventure. The reality is more incredible than anything you could go and watch in a flick. So get into it. And this is participatory. If you see something wrong, fix it with your hands if you can. If you can't, speak about it. Speak up. Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, even if you know one thing I said, say it. It's like so many people go, oh, I don't know very much. It doesn't matter. You might know more, one more thing than the person. That's what homeschooling is about. You pass on, you learn one thing, you pass it on to the next one. So we got to pass on what we know to each other and keep, and don't give up on looking for the truth. Trust God. We're going into some rough times right now. It's going to get worse until Jesus comes back. There's not going to be any let up. So everybody, like my father used to say, may Allah bless him in his grave and give him the highest paradise. It's time to buckle down. It's time to buckle down and to practice our faith, not just on the bowing and the praying, but in the living and this and the action of our lives.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you for spending some time with us and shedding some light on some of these things. Jazakallah khair.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, brother. God, may Allah bless you.
Amin. You too.
Brothers and sisters, we've all had loved ones that passed away. A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a close family member. But one of the mercies of our deen is that with the right intention, we can go ahead and continue to do good deeds on our loved ones' behalf. And what greater of a continuous good deed, sadaqah jariyah, than investing on their behalf in the Deen Center, a masjid and mega dawah center that will benefit generations to come, inshallah. So click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.